Jordan!
Bring him up, gang. Bring him up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Well, here we are again. Could this be the year Denny Hamlin finally wins a championship? Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You listen to the Pit Reporters. With me this week, Kelly Crandall from Racer.com and Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
And welcome to the show. Glad to have Kelly and Jerry here. And man, we got a lot to talk about leading up to the season finale this week. And, it's not all on the track that we're talking about this week either. But let's go ahead and get started. Lots of stuff to talk about. Let's start off with the Final Four. We can't say that, can we, Kelly? We can get sued for saying that. Let's say the Championship Four. That's what we can say. Going to Phoenix, and the big story again this year, Kelly, Denny Hamlin, that's been the topic of conversation. I know at Media Day this week in Concord, it was all about Denny Hamlin. Can he finally win a championship? He had a horrible run at Martinsville, but is that enough to break that momentum?
Well, I guess time will tell, right? I don't know if it's so much about momentum as it is whether the questions around whether that car is going to stay in one piece after the last couple weeks. I think that's the biggest thing for Denny and for Joe Gibbs Racing. Some folks will say, yeah, they don't have any momentum. But listen, this team, this driver, they've been here. They've done that. They know how this week's going to go. Denny has gone through it before. He's prepared for it. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of talk around it. A lot of preparation and previews, but once they get to the racetrack and get going and practice and qualifying, it's going to be about what type of race car do we have. So yeah, I think he's the biggest story, right? Of everyone who's in the championship four. So it's a question of A, will that car stay together? And B, is this going to be the year of all years that he wins a championship?
Jerry, what are your thoughts?
I think he has plenty of momentum right now. for more reasons than on this track.
Well, that's true.
Obviously. Of all weeks, for Denny Hamlin to have a car that doesn't, break this coming weekend at Phoenix is imperative. And I'm willing to bet that they are pulling everything they can think of, getting everyone in that shop, go over every piece, every part, if it doesn't get checked off twice, then somebody's probably going to get in trouble.
Well, but they can't put everybody on it because they also have another car in the championship, and that's Chase Briscoe. And he had a pretty good run going. Now, obviously, they had their problems at Martinsville too, but Chase Briscoe has been pretty good throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, well, you could take, Christopher Bell's team and give them to Denny and take Ty's team and give them to Chase and let them go over stuff, because I'm telling you, JGR wants this championship really, really, really bad. And to think that there's no Penske car in the mix and it's just, mano a mano Hendrick Motorsports versus Joe Gibbs Racing. This is our dosey dose technically, but team against team. And this is going to be probably one of the best championship weekends I think we've had in quite some time, at least that's my opinion.
Well, Kelly, one thing that sticks out at me as far as Denny Hamlin goes is, it had become kind of a running joke with Hamlin over the years is how many speeding penalties could he get over the year, over the course of a year. If it was a drinking game, we would have been, toast by, the midway point of about half the races during the course of a year. But this year, those pit road penalties for him and for the team have been drastically reduced. And I think that may be one of the reasons that, you have this feeling that this could be the year.
Yeah, I think actually over the last couple years, those penalties overall have been coming down. And I mean, even in the years where he was getting speeding penalties, it was never as many as it felt like, right? But that was certainly a narrative, is that Denny Hamlin has problems on pit road. But I do think, Brett, you make a good point of this is just such a well-rounded race team, the 11. And I've said it a few times this year. It feels like they really don't have any weaknesses. Now, you can say the road courses, just because Denny is very honest about his ability on road courses. But I think top to bottom, whether it's pit road, the cars they're bringing to the racetrack, the job that Chris Gayle is doing in his first year of leading this race team, and we know Denny can get the job done behind the wheel, that yes, this feels like a very complete race team. This feels like it honestly, it doesn't feel like any other year where you would have said this is Denny's year to win a championship. I mean, it really comes down to, is this the year in this one race where he's going to make it happen? So if he does win a championship, if the 11 team wins the championship this weekend, because of how well-rounded they are, as I said, of everything they've done this year, it wouldn't be a surprise because they've had an incredible year. I mean, they have been in contention, they have led laps, they have earned a lot of stage points. They are doing a lot of things right, including a lot of the little things. So now it's, I keep saying it, now it just comes down to one race and one weekend. But yes, it feels very much like any other year where you could say, this is going to be it, this is going to be why, or this is going to be the time he's going to win a championship.
Well, then you look at the other contenders. You know, William Byron coming off this incredible win at Martinsville, kind of the walk-off win after the first two races in the round of eight, Jerry, were disasters for him. First of all, because of Ty Dillon. Second of all, because of what happened at the last, you know, not even the last lap at Talladega, but come, you know, in the tri-oval on the last lap at Talladega. And then this is a team that's been really, for the most part, pretty consistent over the course of the year. Kyle Larson has been, I just say, unusually quiet for most of the year, and yet here he is in the championship. And then the one guy who hasn't been here before, and that's Chase Briscoe. And like I said, he's been just the whole second half of this season, they've really been clicking and been just very consistent. They got some wins, and I find him a hard guy to look away from.
Well, Kelly and I were kind of talking about this last night. I called her to kind of prep for the show. She has all the stats. I'm not, but I think like Briscoe's had the most top fives of anybody. Byron has been at the top of the points more weeks than anyone. And Larson is, he's got multiple wins. So they're all qualified for it. I'm bummed because Bell's not in it. But this will be the year that Denny delivers and FedEx won't be on the car.
Oh, there's your headline. You've been working on that one already.
I thought about it when Kelly was talking, and I'm like, if she steals my line,
But at the thing, Kelly, I mean, you look at these guys and you think about it, and you can't look at any one of these guys and say he doesn't deserve to be here because mm-hmm. they've all. And this is, and in none of these cases is this somebody that, you know, I mean, people said like last year, Joey Logano got into the round of eight because of what happened with, you know, the 48 car of Alex Bowman, and then wins at Las Vegas, and that gets him into the final four. Then he wins the championship. None of these guys can you look at and say it's a fluke that they're here. All of these guys have been really good for at least the last half of the year. And not, you know, you can't look at this and say this guy was a fluke or this was a Tony Stewart that got in to the final 10 and said, I don't deserve to be here, and then had a great run through the championship races.
Right. I completely agree with you. And, you know, Christopher Bell said that on Pit Road Sunday multiple times, not just in his TV interviews, but he said it to other media as well who were talking to him Sunday. And I thought that that was a really astute thing to say, but mature thing to say for a driver who was just eliminated, about how the four who are going to Phoenix have all had championship type seasons and they all are deserving to be there. And you know, yes, Jerry was talking about the numbers. When you break it down with these four drivers, yes, you have William Byron, who won the regular season championship. He led the point standings for 21 of the first 26 races, when it was never lower than second. Leads the series in laps led. He and Larson have won the most stages. You know, Chase Briscoe, until last weekend when they had their engine failure in Martinsville, I think his average finish in the playoffs was about fifth or sixth. They've had that 19 team has had an incredible run since the postseason started. And really, the last half of Brett, what you said, just the summer months for that team. Larson, multiple wins. You know, as I said, all the stage wins. He has the second most top tens, right? So, you know, Denny leads the series in overall victories. The stats go on and on and on. So these four drivers are really, really impressive that NASCAR wound up with this year to decide this championship. And I recently wrote it on racer.com. I think that this could be one of the most competitive championship races that we've had. So I'm going there with high hopes that Phoenix can deliver that, because between these four teams, two organizations, and just the drivers and what we've seen from them this year, as I said, I have high hopes and high expectations that these four deserving drivers and teams are going to go out one more time, and it's going to come down to a really entertaining and competitive title decider.
One of the things I found interesting that Denny Hamlin said this week is he's not trash talking, but he's saying he felt like that the other three drivers have got to feel like the championship runs through the 11 team. And yet you look at the personalities of these guys, Jerry, and I don't anticipate we're going to see a lot of or hear a lot of trash talk or guys trying to get into other guys' heads the way we have in the past with, you know, a Harvick or, you know, I'm going way back with the way Darrell Waltrip used to get into guys' heads and the way that Earnhardt used to do it, you know, and Denny Hamlin himself was a victim of that. And with these personalities, I don't expect to hear a lot of that. I think these guys are just going to go out and do their jobs.
And the fact that they're not going to trash talk each other is a sad, sad day in motorsports, because I live for the days when I will wreck your mother to win this. I will wreck my mother to win this championship. That's what we need back in this sport. And, you know, we need those competitors out there to, you know, let's stop being friends for at least one weekend of the year. Let's stop being teammates. Let's go out there and battle it out. And if you have to trash talk a little, get in a good guy's head, let's do it. That's fun. That's what, look, last weekend, Sam, I think it was it Sam Mayer? Who was it that wrecked after the race?
No, Sam Mayer, yeah.
Sam Mayer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he thought that, yeah, he was talking about Jeff Burton. He's like, he thought he was the it, but he's something else. Dude, those type of comments, they're epic for us. That's what journalists want. That's what race car writers dream of for a headline that's going to grab, you know, readers, and they're going to, those stories bring people into the sport. I don't, yeah, maybe some people think those are negative. They're positive, because they're any publicity is good publicity. And when you got guys trash talking and doing this, that makes it more interesting. That gets the casual fan more excited to go to Phoenix this weekend.
Kelly, would you like to stir the pot this week?
No, I actually agree with you, Brett. I don't think we're gonna get any of that. These four drivers, I mean, they all have their own unique personalities, but yes, these four don't have necessarily a history or anything amongst them that if we were to, you know, we're gonna put them side by side by side by side on Thursday, they're not gonna start taking swipes at each other. These four are very much, yeah, they're hard racers. But they, you said it perfectly, they just go out and do their jobs. You know, Denny would be the one, I think, that would talk maybe some smack. But again, he doesn't really have, you know, a history with any of these drivers that I think that he would want to go and pull that out of his hat, you know. So, yeah, I agree with Jerry. You know, those years where we've had those press conferences are very entertaining, but it has to come naturally. And as I said, these four drivers, that's not what's going to happen or what's going to come from them.
So real quick, I want to cut in, Brett. If you take these drivers, and you take like Larson's kind of a, oh, well, you know, we're just going to go do our best. But he is ruthless, okay? Larson is ruthless behind the wheel. And then you've got Denny, who's the wild card. Well, Byron is going to be like, yeah, rah-rah. He's a cheerleader for his team and everybody. And then you've got, Chase, it's like, well, he's kind of like the – oh shucks type of guy, you know. It's like these things happen. I that's not what I want in my drivers in the championship for. I didn't say final because I don't want to get sued, but I want these guys, you know, I know that they're ruthless behind the wheel. Every one of them is gonna go out there and give it 110% on Sunday, but we, you know, we know their personalities, we know what they're thinking. but the fans don't get conveyed that very well if they're not trash talking.
Yeah. One of them needs to get in Denny's head. That's the problem.
That would be, oh, Lord.
All right. When we come back, Jerry mentioned that Denny's already had a win this week. We haven't spent a lot of time talking about the whole lawsuit thing because it's gotten so into the weeds, but a big decision this week that was a win for Denny. We'll talk about that when we come back.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest, door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full-throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back. Along with Jerry Jordan from kickingthetires.net and also Kelly Crandall from racer.com. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. As I mentioned going into the break, we haven't spent a lot of time on the show talking about the lawsuit between 2311 and Front Row and NASCAR because a lot of this gets into legalese and into the weeds. But this week there was a decision made by Judge Kenneth Bell. He dismissed NASCAR's counterclaim against the two teams, saying the counterclaim asserts that rather than the 2025 charters having been fair and balanced, NASCAR is the alleged victim of an illegal cartel made up of all the Cup Series racing teams who collectively forced NASCAR to pay too much to the teams through unlawful joint negotiations. So basically what NASCAR was maintaining that they had to pay too much to the teams.
He picked me.
Yeah. And so that has been thrown out. And as a result of this, there's a lot of feeling now, and there has been a lot of feeling going into this. And Jerry, I want to get your thoughts on this first. There's been a lot of feeling the last few weeks, and there have been some negotiations the last few weeks with NASCAR and the teams. And I've heard, and I know you've heard as well, that there's a real feeling inside the NASCAR walls that they want to get this thing settled, that they don't want to go to court December 1st. What does this all mean, Jerry? Does this mean that we could possibly see a settlement sooner rather than later?
Well, first off, last year at Martinsville, I went to a NASCAR executive and I said, just settle this now, save all the lawsuit money, and revamp the media centers, because we're the ones that are going to be spending all this money and time going down and buying records from Pacer and going to the courts and all this stuff. So, you know, just settle it now, because we know that's where it's going to go. Okay. NASCAR does not want their records out there. And I'm going to tell you why partially in just a minute, but I want to read something. When you said that what Judge Bell wrote earlier about a reason for them, you know, to pay more to the teams, the judge wrote that was not the case. NASCAR's expert economist, Dr. Hubbard, testified that he saw no evidence that the team's collective actions caused NASCAR to increase charter payments. When he was directly questioned, have you seen any evidence to that the concerted behavior engaged by the teams after October 22nd caused NASCAR to increase the amount of money it was willing to pay the teams? The answer was no. So their own expert said no. They knew this. They knew where this was going to go. They're just that this counterclaim was grasping at straws. It was a deflection from the real problem here. And that is that they don't want to give teams permanent charters. And the reason they don't want to give teams permanent charters is because they don't want the teams to have the money. I told Kelly this last night. They don't want the teams to have the type of money that other franchises have in other sports. And a prime example of that, the Utah Hockey Club. Okay, is worth their franchise in the NHL, their Utah Hockey Club is worth $200 million. The most expensive NASCAR charter is estimated to be the Hendrick Charter for $50 million.
Is that per, okay? That's per team?
That's per team. The Dallas Cowboys franchise, the number one franchise in the world for well, I'm sorry, in the United States, $13 billion with a B. Okay, we're nowhere near what these other teams and other leagues are. We want to be, you know, the stick and ball. We want to compete on a big scale, but NASCAR doesn't want these teams to have that type of money because that type of money is too much power, and NASCAR doesn't want their books to be open like these other teams, these other leagues do. That's my opinion.
Well, Kelly, and that's one of the things we've, and I felt that all along. I agree with Jerry that ultimately, nobody wants the books to be open. And now they've already been partially open. But I don't think anybody wants the books completely open for the public to see, because I think that's a negative for everybody. And Judge Bell said it a couple of months ago, if this thing ultimately goes to court, both sides lose.
Yeah, I mean, Judge Bell has had some pretty straightforward and, you know, on the mark remarks about what this is doing. I mean, basically, one of the earliest things he said was both sides are burning down the house from the inside. So, yeah, I mean, he's been pretty on the mark about what this is doing, how this sport is going to look drastically different in the future, depending on the outcome of this case, if it doesn't get settled between the two sides beforehand. So, you said it earlier. I mean, this has gotten so in the weeds, and I don't disagree about the part of nobody wants the books open. And I think that goes not just for NASCAR. I think that goes for all of the teams who are not involved in this lawsuit, right? Because if I'm a team owner, I don't want folks knowing what I'm getting from my sponsors or what I'm paying my drivers or what I'm paying my pit crew, whatever it may be. You know, that's my business. It's my business details. You don't want the competition to know that. So this is something that has not been good for anybody, right? I mean, it's not good for NASCAR, certainly. The other teams clearly are concerned about the future of the sport and what it's going to mean for them. So having this come to a resolution sooner rather than later and not be put in the hands of a jury, I think is the best thing for everybody. So hopefully we're getting closer to that. This today or earlier this week that got thrown out by Judge Bell, I mean, that comes down to, yes, about the counterclaim of NASCAR saying that the teams and Curtis Polk were basically colluding to, you know, threaten boycotts and getting involved in the negotiations and trying to get the teams, yes, more money and, you know, to band together, so to speak. So that's one thing that's now done and out of the way. But, you know, NASCAR statement says, hey, if we can't resolve this, then we're going to appeal that. So it's just, it's almost never ending at this point, but hopefully it will end sooner rather than later. That is the best case for everybody.
Do you, and I think you both, do you see the momentum going in that direction? I mean, the fact that the two sides have been sitting down, had multiple meetings, I guess in the Charlotte area last week, and, you know, hey, they're all going to be together in Phoenix this week. And obviously you don't want something to take away from your championship weekend, but they're all going to be there. chance to sit down some more? Jerry?
I think they want to get it done before Phoenix. Yeah, I think they want to get it done before we put race cars on the racetrack, because they have always been very focused and want all focus every year to be on the championship. So I thought it was a good sign when the settlement conference went from Tuesday into Wednesday, but then clearly it broke down Wednesday. So, you know, a little bit of momentum they had there, they all need to get back together and try to sort that out. But I think from NASCAR's perspective, yes, they want to get this done and resolved, if it was up to them, you know, today. And again, definitely before we put cars on the racetrack.
Jerry?
I don't think it'll be done before Phoenix. I don't think they're close. I mean, we all know what the deciding factor here is, and that's permanent charters. If NASCAR came in and said, hey, you can have permanent charters, we'll work it out, I think we could get this there. But, you know, when we go back to this Curtis Polk thing that was dismissed earlier this week, NASCAR has been disingenuous on a lot of stuff. And this is one of the things that I took away from that ruling, is that NASCAR put up the fact that Jim France, the CEO and chairman of NASCAR, went and talked to teams individually to get them to sign on to the charter agreement. You have the highest guy in the sport going to the teams, and whether he's, you know, I'm not going to use the word strong arm, but why would you send Jim France, other than, you know, the power of Jim France and his negotiation skills and the history of the sport with the France family. He went to individual teams to get those deals. But Curtis Polk, who was on the TNC, on the negotiating committee, and they went after him for going to teams individually to talk to them when they were in these negotiations. And in this ruling, it also says that at NASCAR's request, Jeff Gordon was put on the TNC, the negotiating committee, and replaced Marshall Carlson. And I'm wondering, what power did they have to do that? Why did they want it to do it? Where was that motivation at? And so when you look at all of these documents, and I've been studying this, you know, since it started, I just gave up on putting all the documents online because, as you guys said, it's gone in the weeds. It's gotten really, really expensive on Pacer. I feel bad for Kelly and everybody else that has to pay for this stuff like I do, because we pay for these documents. And I just think NASCAR needs to get this settled, because Kelly may not remember this, but Brett, you will. Remember the Bell telephone?
Yeah.
Remember when they broke up Bell telephone? That could happen with NASCAR. We could literally be destroying NASCAR right now if they don't come to some type of a settlement. And the judge can pretty much do what he wants to. He could go in, he could break them up like they did with Bell, and we could see an IndyCar cart type split. There's no telling what he could do. Sell racetracks, sell teams, sell charters, all kinds of, I mean, there's any number of things that the judge can do, and nobody wins in that situation, especially not the fans.
All right, when we come back, some things have been decided for next year as far as drivers and teams and crew chief change among one of the top drivers. Stay with us.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-859-0047. 800-859-0047. That's 800-859-0047.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Yeah. Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with Kelly Crandall from Racer.com, Jerry Jordan from KickingTheTires.net, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Ross Chastain's going to have a new crew chief next season, Kelly. Brandon McSwain will be moving over there, replacing Phil Surgeon. Kind of an interesting move, I think, Kelly, because they have had some success, have Surgeon and Chastain.
Yeah, this is a move that, from what I heard, is just Phil Surgeon coming off the road. I don't think it was necessarily a decision that the team made that said, hey, we need to change something because it's not working on the one team. So from my understanding, Phil's just coming off the road at Trackhouse Racing. Brandon McSwain is probably kind of an underrated talent because, you know, he hasn't been a Cup Series crew chief. But I know that everybody at Hendrick Motorsports and William Byron, Rudy Fugel are obviously believe in his talent. He's been involved with that team since 2019 as an engineer. He's filled in for Rudy Fugel when he's been suspended or not available at the racetrack. And he even worked with William back in, 2017, 2018 at Junior Motorsports when they won a championship together in that series. So this is his shot now. It's somebody that clearly was high on the list for a lot of folks to give an opportunity to, and has been in the sport for a long time. So now it's his chance to be a full-time crew chief, and we'll see what happens.
Jerry, and one of the least surprising news items coming out of the Cup Garage, Daniel Suarez is going to Spire Motorsports. Shocking! I don't think any of us saw that coming, Jerry. Do we lose Jerry? Mm. Kelly, I'll get you to comment on that. I think that was the one we all saw coming, right?
Yeah. It wasn't surprising. We expected that. It was a simple, it comes down to what's out there, what's available, who's looking for a driver, who's looking for a ride. You know, from Spire Motorsports' standpoint, Jeff Dickerson, I thought, had a really great quote when he said, hey, we need each other, right? Spire Motorsports needs a driver. They appreciate Daniel's longevity in this sport, his experience, what he's done for almost a decade now here in the Cup Series. Jeff Dickerson feels like he's a driver that can get the most out of his equipment, is not really going to be a story on the racetrack for wrong reasons. And Daniel, again, he was looking for a ride, right? He wants to stay in the Cup Series. He wants to be a Cup Series driver. So for him, it was, I see an opportunity with an organization that he feels like continues to grow and progress year after year from what he has seen. Certainly, you just look in the last 3 years with all the personnel changes, the driver changes, things they've done over there. So I really like how they both said that about each other. You know, basically, we need each other. And Dickerson also used the phrase, there's a little bit of desperation going around on both sides, right? You know, Daniel's desperate. He doesn't want to be in this situation a year from now where he's looking for another ride. And Spire Motorsports doesn't want to keep changing drivers over and over again. So, you know, we'll see how this deal comes together in the first year and if it leads to more together. But I like it so far. I like the pairing, and I think it's going to be intriguing to see what they do together.
All right, we got Jerry back. Zane Smith is going to return to Front Row Motorsports. Had some really good runs, especially late in the year.
Yeah, you know, Zane's a very talented driver. We've seen him go with without rides, you know, or worried about going into the next season without rides. I'm very happy to see that he's got a good deal. And I think, you know, he's a future. He's got a future in this sport. He's probably, honestly, to be able to follow his career through everything that he's done, you know, he's consistently shown improvement and that he can get the job done. And by the way, sorry for disappearing there a while ago. I looked up and my computer just said shutting down in little bitty letters and my screen went blue. So I don't know what happened, but I'm back.
That's right. I have that happen quite frequently when I get updates.
I just figure NASCAR was watching live and I'm in trouble and I'll turn my hard card in at Phoenix.
Well, that'll be okay because it's the last race of the year. Speaking of people in trouble for the last race of the year, Sam Mayer has been suspended for the last race of the year after his post-race actions at Martinsville when he wrecked Jeb Burton, said that Jeb needed a wake-up call, and NASCAR has decided that they did not like those actions. It's a behavioral, so he has been suspended. Of course, Sam Mayer, Kelly, was in the running for a spot in the final in the Championship Four in the Xfinity Series. Didn't get it, but NASCAR did not like his post-race actions and said, we're going to extend your off-season by a week.
Yeah, we've seen this before, right? Anytime that it's very obvious or blatant that somebody has intentionally wrecked another driver, they're normally going to get a vacation. So Sam gets to start his 2026 early. Haas factory team's not going to appeal it. Ryan Sieg's going to get to drive that car at Phoenix. So that'll be intriguing to see. But, you know, that had been building, right? You mentioned it, Brett. You know, during the race, they'd had some contact. Sam really taking exception to how Jeb was racing him, considering that he was trying to advance into the postseason. But, you know, you can be as mad as you want. You can say what you want. But once you use your race car as a weapon and in retaliation, you're really putting it in NASCAR's hands to react. And more times than not, they're going to sit you down. And that's exactly what happened here to Sam Mayer. So I don't know if anybody in this industry is surprised right now that happened. I think we were all expecting and just waiting for what time the penalty report was going to drop.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Championship Four in the Xfinity Series. Also got a Championship Four in the Truck Series. And the way the regular season went, I'm wondering how much drama there might actually be there. Or are we going to end up going, this is why this whole championship scenario is unfair? Stay with us.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Doug Rice at PRN. Join me every Monday night for another great episode of Fast Talk.
I watched the race on TV, and they wanted to give him the mantle of greatest of all time, and he's won 4 races in a row, and so I can't do that yet. But I do think what we're watching is a guy who's changing the sport. He's changing the way the other drivers approach road racing. He's making them study. He's making them up their game.
That's Fast Talk right here on the Performance Racing Network.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Jerry Jordan's here. Kelly Crandall's here. We're looking at the Championship Four in the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series. And let's start off with Connor Zilich, 10 wins this year, Jerry. What do you have? 17 straight races, a top five finishes. He's kind of cooled off the last 2 weeks as he goes into Phoenix. I would think he's going to be the odds-on favorite. I would think his biggest competition is probably going to come from his own teammate, who, oh, by the way, is a defending champion and runs pretty darn well at Phoenix, Justin Allgaier. What are you thinking?
I think that if Zilich doesn't win the championship, then this, you know, as you teased before the break, this will be the most unfair, I mean, the guy's just gone out there and given everybody a butt whipping all year long, even with a broken collarbone and falling out of the car and almost dying with getting the broken collarbone. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. Between him and Allgaier, Allgaier's got the chops to get it done. I think if anybody can get in anybody's head, Allgaier could probably, he's such a nice guy, but I think just from a performance wise on the track and his assuredness, you know, the assuredness of his racing, he might be able to mess with Connor a little bit, but I don't think they're going to do that. Kind of like the same thing we have in the Cup Series. I still think that Connor needs to win the championship to be legitimate.
You agree with that, Kelly?
I do to a point, because yes, when you look at Connor's numbers, everybody gets caught up in the fact that he's won 10 races, right? But I think that that overshadows a little bit of how good Justin Allgaier and that 7 team have been as well. In my opinion, I think the 7 and the 88 have been pretty, take the wins, again, the wins are lopsided, but I feel like they've been pretty even, and they have both been the standard in the Xfinity Series this year. So on one hand, yes, I completely understand the arguments of Connor Zilich and the 88 team need to win this championship. That's the most deserved, and all of that. But if the 7 won it, I don't know if it would be that big of a, we need to, you know, tear the grandstands down moment. I really believe it's kind of been 1 and 1A in that series between them. So I expect the same thing to Saturday. I think that's exactly how this is going to play out, which is it's going to come down between the 88 and the 7, which again is really what it's been all year long.
Well, and here's the bizarre thing about the Xfinity Series, and Jerry, you'll let me know how much people care about the Owners Championship. Yeah, that's what I thought. But the 88.
Well, apparently Joe Gibbs Racing cared enough of it to put
Almirola, yeah,
Almirola back in the car when he had a deal signed for somebody else. But that's, you know, that's not here.
Well,
there.
That's the thing, because the 88 and the 7 are both competing. They can win the drivers and owners championship, but the other two guys that are in, you know, Jesse Love and also Carson Quapel, they can win the driver's championship, but not the owner's championship. The other two cars, the 19 and the 21, are both competing for the owner's championship. So you could have a double celebration, you know, say, you know, the 19 wins the race. He's going to be in victory lane celebrating the owner's championship while somebody else is going to be celebrating the driver's championship. But again, I'm like, I don't think that resonates with the fans at all. It resonates with the owners. But not with the fans.
It resonates, yeah, with the people that care and count the money.
Yeah, exactly right. But you guys both talked about, and Jerry, you really hit on, I agree more with Kelly, I think, on this, that I think the 7's had a good enough year that if he wins the championship, I don't think it skews at all. I think the Truck Series, that's where you really look at it, where Corey Heim has had just an unbelievable year, 11 wins, an average finish of 5.2, and he's just totally dominated the Truck Series. And I think the one guy that we thought might give him a run for his money isn't even in the finals. I mean,
well, go back real quick. What about Carson Quapel and Jesse Love? What if one of them win the championship and Allgaier and Zilich don't win it? Then you've really got a problem. We're talking about Augar, and I don't think there would be a you know, pitchforks and flames for that. But Carson Quapel wins the championship. I don't know. I think you have a real problem going to the Truck Series. Corey Heim has been dominant. Exactly.
I mean, that's the one, and Kelly, I think that's the one you really look at to say it would be a real shame if he didn't win the championship, because that has been just an unbelievably dominant season.
Yeah, I think that's a much different conversation than what you can probably try to rationalize in the Xfinity Series. When it comes to trucks and what Corey Heim has done, and you look at his three competitors, I mean, this is going to sound so disrespectful, and I apologize, but I mean, it's really no competition. Once Lane Riggs didn't make it to Phoenix, I mean, I looked at it and I said, you know, Corey Heim should just have to start the truck on Friday and just, you know, because yes, if he doesn't win the championship, that is going to, it's going to be a long Friday night for NASCAR if Corey Heim does not win this championship. I mean, social media is going to go crazy. The grandstands, like I said, you know, who knows how they're going to react, because yes, you can argue this is the format and he has to go out and perform in one more race, but that doesn't mean the format is right. And obviously, you know, that's what's led to the committee and all the conversation around the format being changed next year. So listen, much respect to those other three teams, you know, Tyler Ankrum and Caden Honeycutt and Ty Majeski, the defending champion. But, you know, if we're being honest, the numbers are clearly lopsided. And, hey, it's not their fault. They're going to go out and try to win a championship because, again, this is the format and they did qualify for it. But it's just absolutely, the competition is so lopsided. And if an outside variable does not eliminate Corey Heim, then I think it's going to be like any other race we've seen this year where he's going to start up front. He's going to take the lead at some point and it's going to be game over.
Is Ty Dillon in that race?
I don't think so.
I think, okay. When we come back, last time around at Phoenix, and no Penske cars in this time. Should maybe we come back to Phoenix next year since we don't have any Penske cars this time? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Look, yo, how do you feel today? Maybe you're a little hungover again, feeling a little embarrassed about a few things? Listen, why haven't you called yet to get help? Man, aren't you tired of feeling this way? So listen, whatever your party drug of choice is, there are ways to get clean and sober, especially if it's messing with your life. Hey man, we all have choices. You can make a choice right here, right now, today, to call the number I'm about to give you and start a brand new life without drugs or booze. I know it's hard to think about this, but imagine how great your life could be. And all it takes is one simple phone call. I've got a team of people standing by ready to check your insurance and let you know what it takes to get clean and sober. Okay, so get ready to save this number, because here it comes.
800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Paid for by the Detox Treatment Helpline.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with Kelly Crandall from Racer.com, Jerry Jordan from KickOnTheTires.net, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, this is the last time we're going to be at Phoenix for the finale for Well, I guess at least the next couple of years, we know we'll be at Homestead next year. But I think, Kelly, a lot of folks felt like we had to get out of Phoenix because the Penske cars just dominate that place. They've won three in a row there. We're sick of Penske winning the championship. And now look who's there. It's Gibbs and Hendrick. And no yellow cars running for the championship. So, were we all wrong?
I don't think people were wrong. I mean, listen, I mean, it's a trend, right? It's a trend that they're really good at that racetrack in particular. They're really good at flatter short tracks or even 1 mile racetracks. So why wouldn't you begin the postseason and expect that one, if not both of them, are going to get there, right? I mean, I expected it. I asked both Joey and Ryan at Media Day in September to begin the playoffs of why should we expect anything different? And to their credit, they both said, hey, we got to get there first, right? It's a tough 9 weeks. And that ended up being absolutely correct this time around. But yes, the expectation is when you see them there, or at least they've won it the last 3 years, they've been there in other years as well, they have that place figured out. So why would you not think we're going to see one of those yellow cars there again? I will say, what is really funny to me about this whole Phoenix conversation is really just how much truly this sport does go in circles, both literally and figuratively.
Literally.
Yeah, literally and figuratively, right? Because the conversation around Phoenix, of course, the last couple of years is Team Penske clearly has an advantage, right? If you look at the champions who have been crowned at Phoenix since we started going there, which this will be the sixth year. So if you look at the last five champions, the first two were from Hendrick. The next three were from Penske, right? And what makes me laugh about that is we're going back to Homestead next year, at least, as you said, Brett. And I remember when the conversation around Homestead used to be, oh, well, the championship race needs to rotate before somebody gets an advantage. I don't ever remember seeing anybody having an advantage at Homestead. And here we are now at Phoenix. People can't wait to get out of there.
There we are. I think Jimmy Johnson had an advantage at Homestead. Because he always won there, almost five in a row, right?
Yeah. Yes, but if you just put it in the box of the current playoff format, the elimination format. So if you go 2014 to 2019, we only had one repeat champion in that entire time.
Yep, that's true. Well, now you got, you know, if Byron wins or Larson wins, then they'll all start complaining again. That's why we're leaving, because it was all Hendrick and Penske the whole time.
Yeah, 6 years of Hendrick or Penske. That's right.
That's right. So what happens if one of the Gibbs guys wins, Jerry, and screws it all up?
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I do. I'm telling you, I picked and bet on Denny Hamlin at the beginning of the year. I felt like this was going to be his year for so many reasons. And one of them we talked about earlier with this lawsuit, because of, this is motivation. This is what Denny's chaotic life. That's what he loves, is he thrives on this. And I think that, you know, JGR is going to go in there and they're going to show what they have, and they're going to drive away winners, champions.
I think the cool thing when you really look at this championship four is you've got Kyle Larson is the only one of this championship four that has a championship. So, you know, hey, I'm not too bad at math sometimes. Three quarters of this field could be a first-time champion, which I think is kind of neat, Kelly.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, Larson's trying to enter into a category of, you know, elite drivers who have won more than one championship, right? And even when you look at the current makeup of the Cup Series, the only multi-time champions in this series right now are Joey Logano and Kyle Busch. So Kyle Larson can join just that, right? By having at least a second championship. The other three, you know, William Byron now is going to have a shot at it for a third year. So he's kind of becoming experienced at doing this. Denny Hamlin has been here, done it so many times, not just in this format, but in previous formats of trying to win a championship. And Chase Briscoe might be the most intriguing of all because, yeah, he hasn't done it at the Cup Series level, but he's done it at the Xfinity Series level. So how will he now react to an even brighter stage, so to speak? So it's a very interesting makeup of what you have here with these four drivers. And I think for anybody who, Brett, as you were saying, that wants to see a first-time champion in the Cup Series, the odds are in your favor this weekend between the three of them versus Larson.
It would be interesting to see if Hamlin were to win the championship to do a mic drop moment in Victory Lane and say, I'm done driving. But he was asked about it this week, and he says, yeah, it would be cool, but Gibbs is not ready to replace me yet. So
yeah,
I've got too much respect. Yeah.
It's an awesome visual, and it would be really cool, right, for any driver to be able to do that. But realistically, with how this sport is, which is a business, that's not so simple for teams and drivers to be able to do.
Yeah, it would be cool. All right, when we come back, White Flag Laps, stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
No one's paying me to say this, but you've been our lifeline. We have no internet. We have no TV. We barely have cell service. I don't know how I'm able to get to you. My Wi-Fi is not working. And I have a radio, and I finally got power on, and I have it plugged in, and I could hear you. You're the only station I can get in.
Wow. Well, that's why we're here.
So, wow.
The report that we got was that a severe tornado was heading right toward us. And I just want to commend you gentlemen for the job that you're doing, for keeping us informed.
I just wanted to say thank you for being on the radio and guiding us to, you know, where we can get help.
I just want to tell you, the first thing I heard was your voices on the next morning. Oh, shoot. And it made me cry. The comfort of hearing your voices.
My respiration, perspiration, and aggravation are sky high, but you guys have been the guiding light.
Your local AM station makes a difference. We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Real quickly, before our white flag laps, our Pit Reporter poll this week is, since there's no Penske, do you wish the championship race was staying at Phoenix? Yes or no? Very simple. Last time we asked you, how many career wins will Denny Hamlin finish with? 41% said 65. 37% said he's done at 60. 17% said 70. And 5% think he'll get more than 70 career wins. All right. Now let's do the white flag laps. And first up from racer.com, Kelly Crandall.
I appreciate it. Another fun show, Brett. I'm going to keep it short and sweet because we touched on it a lot when we were talking about the Cup Series Final Four. The thing that stands out to me is, as I said earlier in the show, I really think this could be a very competitive race on Sunday. And I have high hopes for that. And when you look at these four drivers, we used the term earlier about how deserving they are, what type of championship seasons they have put together. And for me, I think an argument and a story could be made of why each one of them would be a really cool and really great Cup Series champion if they were able to accomplish it. So I'm excited that even as a fan and a media member who loves good stories and getting to cover this sport, I truly believe Sunday could be a memorable championship race. And again, I think when it comes down to the end, whoever of the four prevails, I think it's going to be a great story.
I agree. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Next up from kickingthetires.net, Jerry Jordan.
Real quick, a while ago I said I bet on Denny to win the championship. I did. I bet actually on Denny, on William, and on Kyle to win the championship. I didn't do Briscoe, but I wish I would have, because he was like 50-1 or something at the beginning of the year. So in all due transparency there. But this tissue here, this is for us leaving Phoenix. I'm crying. I'm upset. it'll be okay. We'll get over it. But honestly, I am thrilled we are going back to Homestead. The racing was always good there. It had that championship vibe to me. I was telling Kelly last night, I don't think we got that in Phoenix. And I've definitely missed the Spiny Lobster and Stone Crab. So looking forward to going back to Homestead.
It's all about food, isn't it, Jerry? There you go. We can get you a new hamper for the championship. There you go. Hey, thanks a lot. Both of you, appreciate it. Thank you for being with us. We'll talk to you next week on the Pit Reporters after we crown some champions.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.